The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm joined now in the studio by human rights lawyer and barrister Keelan Gallagher and by campaigner Rosemary Adasser. And you're both welcome to the show. I know you've just arrived from London, so we're delighted to have you with us. Keelan, Rosemary is your client and you've been supporting her to be allowed to receive this compensation, Irish Mother and Baby Institution compensation payment, without fear of losing benefits in England. And you've had some good news.
Yeah, that's right. So Rosemary's actually lived in England since 1976, so for 50 years after she left as a young woman. And she's a survivor of mother and baby institutions, both as a baby, but also as a mother when she was the victim of a forced adoption in her teenage years. And she is entitled under the scheme that started in 2024 to compensation. But because she lives in England, there's been this unique financial penalty hanging over her head and 13,000 other people like her, which meant that if they accepted their compensation, they would then potentially lose their means-tested benefits, which many of them rely upon. They'd be subject to very stringent tax rules, and also they'd lose financial support in relation to social care. So there's been a campaign ongoing. Rosemary's been at the heart of that to try to change that, known as Philomena's Law, after Philomena herself, supported by Liam Conlon, MP, an MP in England. And Rosemary has been critical in now securing a change. We've just secured a change in the last few days, which means that although Philomena's Law is not yet on the statute books, Rosemary requested expressly that the UK government issue some interim guidance to the Department of Work and Pensions to make clear that survivors shouldn't be penalised in the meantime until it gets on the statute books. And we just got confirmation last week that they've now issued the guidance that Rosemary asked for. So this woman is a hero, and I'm very glad she's here to talk to you today.
Rosemary, you're a hero. How do you feel about that?
God, no.
But it is great news.
It's fabulous news. But I think, and I think it's really important to emphasise how many people are behind this. From Philomena's Law, tabled by Liam Conlon, MP. Then you had all the Irish centres up and down the land in Britain. And I remember that the Irish in Britain AGM last November, I literally gate crashed because I wanted everybody to understand that while it's great to have people advocating on our behalf, actually we need, as survivors, we need to say something ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I literally gate crashed the Irish in Britain AGM, met the fabulous Keelan there, and we thought, great, let's, and Keelan also was very much aware of the difficulty, because this issue predominantly affects the retired group. I can't go to work. I don't have the health to be able to accept the compensation and then wait and see how much I'll be penalised.
Yeah, you see, that's the fear, isn't it? If I take this money, which I am entitled to, what is that going to look like for me in terms of what I was going to lose on the other side? That's
yes.
The great fear. Now, it's well worth pointing out that your brother, your twin brother, who lives here, doesn't he?
He does indeed,
he
yeah.
could accept that money and not
yeah,
have that fear.
He did. He's tickety-boo. You know?
As is the right way to have it.
So, the right.
Yeah. And but for you, you're there going, should I take it? Should I accept it?
Most of us are not accepting it because of this great fear. do forgive me. And we've recently heard that there's only 770 people in the UK have taken up the compensation offer.
Out of 13,000.
Yeah.
So tiny, tiny number.
Tiny.
And did some of those people have their benefits stopped in some way as a result?
That's right. And actually, we were speaking to Patricia Carey about exactly that issue today, because that tiny number, the 770 out of 13,000 who did go ahead despite this financial fear over the last 2 years, we know that some of them have been penalised financially in a range of ways. So that's one of the issues we're talking to Patricia Carey about now.
She's the special advocate for survivors.
That's right. That's right. So we've got a meeting with her today, so one of the issues on our agenda.
So the hope is that you'll be able to reverse that those people will
yes.
get their money back, their
exactly.
benefits back.
Exactly.
Rosemary, do you want to tell us a little bit about your background for people listening?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm a graduate of Irish industrial schools, mother and baby homes. I was born in Belfast with my twin. We were I would use the term trafficked down to the Republic of Ireland. And of course, the first thing that happened was that I lost my British citizenship because I was raised in an industrial school in Kilkenny. My brother and I were separated. It wasn't easy.
At what age were you separated?
Six. Mm-hmm. We were 6 years old. And there's no notice. You know, all I recall is being put into an ambulance, being driven from Dublin. We were in the Navan Road, St. Patrick's on the Navan Road, then being driven down to Kilkenny. The ambulance doors open, total get out, and you're stood there in front of this huge building, and your twin brother, your only family, is driven off somewhere else. And I spent 10 years in Kilkenny. It wasn't easy. It was pretty awful. And I know I get really angsty when people call them homes.
I understand
or orphanages.
That. Yeah.
Because they were awful.
Institutions is the correct name for them,
they,
right?
They were industrial schools. For babies onwards. Unfortunately, I did get pregnant at 16, and I was sent to another mother and baby institution, and my son was then taken from me at 21 days, I was picked up by this wonderful couple, Brian and Mary Rothery, and I suppose without them, I would probably have wound up in a Magdalene laundry. You know, the only three places I've not been in would be a Magdalene laundry, a young offenders institution, and a mental health and mental hospital. Mm-hmm. And it was quite common for my group to be put into any one of those.
And what happened? That couple took you in and brought you into their home, did they?
They did indeed. And they kind of rebuilt me, Claire. I was very damaged when I left this place.
Understandably.
Very damaged. I didn't talk for about 6 months, actually. This is what Brian remembered, other than monosyllabic, please, thank you, no, thank you, that sort of thing.
So
they rebuilt me.
You were about 17 at that time, were
I
you?
Was 17. I just turned 17. Mm-hmm. They rebuilt me, got a game plan, went back to school, went back to do my leaving certificate. I did that in 6 months. I couldn't go back to where I was. And then I got a job at the GPO. And the GPO was important because I couldn't get a job front-facing. So I had to get a job where my face was hidden because there was a bit of a colour bar going on in Ireland at the time. But it was really good training. And then as soon as I could, I got out of Dodge.
You left Ireland.
I left Ireland, went to London.
And that couple who looked after you, did they encourage you to leave?
Oh, totally. They crystallized for me that living in Ireland was not going to be successful for me. And it's predominantly because I stood out again. Mm-hmm. Like most of my peers could blend into Irish society. I couldn't.
Because of the colour of your
because
skin.
Because of the colour, yeah. And we're going back to 1970. I left in 1976. Mm-hmm. There were very few people of colour in Ireland. The first wave was in the 90s, but I was born here, raised here.
So what was life like then when you went to England?
I had a laugh. I had a ball. Well, for starters, I didn't stand out. You know, there was nobody stopping me and calling me names and asking me 20 questions. The other advantage I had is that there was a lot of anti-Irish sentiment in London at the time. Mm-hmm. But since nobody believed I was Irish, I got away with that. Every so often, there might be a kind of a, I hear a bit of an accent there. And I'd be going, it's Canadian. Keep going.
So you had a good life.
I had a very good life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's largely attributable to that brilliant, beautiful family, Brian and Mary Rothery, because they rebuilt me, gave me the skills, gave me the confidence to leave Ireland and start my life all over in London. And I did relatively well in London. I went back and got my education, my first degree, my second degree at the London School of Economics, and had a steady career progression within social housing until I retired.
And then fought this fight, Keelan. So when you say that she's a hero, I can tell, Rosemary, that, you know, when you say that you... survivors need to make their voices heard. not every survivor can do that.
No.
Which is the point of this, isn't it? Which is why people need our support. If they're entitled to compensation, they should get it without losing other benefits.
Absolutely. And I mean, Rosemary's summarised there the first 17 years of her life before she met that amazing couple from Killiney who took her in. You know, but through that time, Rosemary, I'm afraid, was physically abused, sexually abused, racially abused. I mean, for a long time, Rosemary, we've spoken about this, Rosemary thought the N-word was a pet name because she was called it all the time. You know, and there were quite a few things that happened in the industrial school, which were very focused on her colour. Rosemary was always made to clean the toilets in the middle of the night on the basis that her skin colour was the same as the product in the toilet. You know, I mean, really horrendous, horrendous experiences that she had throughout those years. And I think one of the things that's so inspiring is Rosemary's work then in England, in London, working in housing. You know, Rosemary was very driven to then support people who are vulnerable, who were street homeless for a whole range of reasons. And I know you've said quite a lot, Rosemary, there, but for the grace of God, go I. You know,
absolutely.
She could easily have been in that position herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because I've been able to empathise with the more vulnerable in society. I know how hard it can be, and I've always had this personal philosophy, is that if you can find just one person who believes in you, just one person who believes in you, they can help you to help yourself, like the Rotherys did for my good self. But it's also why I wanted to stand up and be counted with this Philomena's Law, because it's a wonderful gift the UK government has given us. But it's interim, it's temporary. It can be withdrawn any time. We're also a bit concerned that it will be applied differently depending on where you live. So if you are part of an Irish centre, they will probably know that this interim measure is in place. But if you're living on your own with no access to an Irish centre, you're not going to know. Your borough or council are not going to know. So it's very important that we get this Philomena's Law onto the books, in the King's Speech next month. And people have been fighting furiously for this. And it's important for... There's not many of us left. There's, what, up to 13,000. Most of us are my age and older. We're a bit decrepit now. And we can't do anything. And this would be such a safety net for so many of us.
So you mentioned, Keelan, that this will form part of guidance, but that means it's not on the statute books. Is that right?
That's right. So just to put it in context, obviously the scheme started in spring 2024. Liam Conlon MP tabled the draft law known as Philomena's Law in March 2025. And here we are in April 2026. It's still not on the statute books. So the win that Rosemary got last week was a very important one. Because you might remember at the UK-Ireland summit in Cork, the Taoiseach and the Prime Minister Keir Starmer announced that in principle there was this recognition of survivors being treated the same way on both sides of the Irish Sea. So that's a great win in principle. But over the last number of weeks since that happened, Rosemary's been saying, well, where is it? Because Rosemary was still terrified to apply for the compensation. Some people who are in your circle have died without getting the compensation because they were so terrified. And there's a real urgency here. So that's why we wrote to say, you've got to get Philomena's Law enacted as quickly as possible. Time is of the essence here. And in the meantime, issue this guidance. So we got the guidance, and that's great.
It is great.
But it's still discretionary.
Yeah.
And it doesn't quite do the job until we've got it on the statute book. And that's why Rosemary's now fighting to get this on the statute book as quickly as possible. It can't wait.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this would be the responsibility of the British government, but
that's right.
No harm to have the full backing of the Irish government.
We agree.
For people listening to this to know what is happening.
Well,
you need that support, Rosemary, right?
Oh, absolutely. And there are some fabulous links between Irish TDs and British MPs. And I'm sure it's been that coalition which has enabled us to even get this far. And we all know that Ireland and England, they're like sisters at this stage, the Irish and the English. They talk to each other, they travel, and it would be just good. You never know, this radio show maybe will reach somebody who hasn't heard of Philomena's Law or this new interim measure. And one of the things is it's equality of access is what I'm concerned about. And we know that some people have had their benefits cut. What are we going to do about that?
Mm-hmm. And, well, look, the truth of it is as well, you, given what you have been through, you deserve that money. And
thank
you deserve
you.
To have that money to pass on to whoever you wish to pass it on to.
Yes.
That is owed to you, you know, and there is no doubt about that. And why anybody should be penalised on the other side of that, it makes no sense.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I think that's why it was just so ludicrous. I have a twin brother he got his in weeks, and I could have applied in 2024. It's 2026 and I still haven't applied.
Mm-hmm.
And Claire, just two quick things. It's worth saying as well, obviously, given the experience that people have had, like Rosemary, there's an utter terror of being institutionalised in their old age because of their experience of institutionalisation. And one of the real fears which so many of the survivors based in England on the other side of the Irish Sea have got is that actually with the loss of benefits or with the loss of social care support because of getting the compensation, with that might come a lack of independence, an inability to be in their own home because they'd lose some of those benefits which assist them with remaining independent in their own home. So that's been a fear which I've heard repeatedly from Rosemary and from others. And second thing to say just is many of your listeners are going to have family members who are based in England, Wales or Scotland. Northern Ireland is different because there is already a provision across the border in Northern Ireland. But if you've got family members who are in England, Wales or Scotland, they've got an MP. They need to write to their MP and say, it's great there's this in principle agreement with Philomena's Law. Get it on the books as quickly as possible. We've got to get this up the agenda politically. It moved up the agenda politically when we had the UK-Ireland summit. And that's when the in principle agreement finally came 2 years after the scheme came in. Now what we need to make sure is that political pressure continues. And we'd be very grateful to anyone who's listening who's got links across the water and who can put pressure on the political system in the UK to make sure that this now happens as quickly as possible. And Rosemary doesn't have to wait and doesn't have to fight any longer.
OK, well, look, it's been a great honour to meet you, Rosemary. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very
much. Rosemary and Keelan Gallagher. Thank you both. We'll take a break.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.